Good evening, everyone. I am so happy to see each and every one of you here. If you've never been here before, I warmly, warmly welcome you to the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church. As it has been mentioned, I am a registered nurse, still practicing, and I recently graduated from pharmacy school, so I do have some knowledge and practical experience on the things that we're going to talk about. But just a disclaimer, fine print, this information is not intended to treat or cure any disease. Use the information at your discretion, with good judgment. With that out of the way, let us begin. How many were here for the cooking school yesterday? Amazing. I am so glad to see that so many of you were here to witness the first part of the series, which is nutrition. So, based on the picture that I have up here, which principle do you suppose we're discussing tonight? Exercise. That's absolutely right. So, let us jump right in. I would like to introduce you to Miss Ernestine Shepherd. She is 80 years strong this year, and she is the world's most mature performing female bodybuilder. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, this was entered in 2010. She started at the age of 56, so she didn't always do it, and she wasn't very fit to begin with. But her top tips for achieving that kind of lifestyle and the goals that she set were, number one, to eat right, nutrition, drink lots of water, we're getting there, strength training, part of exercise, aerobic exercise, and determination. You absolutely have to stick with it in order for the principles to work. So, there's a lot of information about exercise. You know it's good for you. You know you should do it. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm the type of person that needs to know why something is good for me, and then I'll be more motivated to do it. If you just tell me, oh, do exercise, it's good for you, I'll be like, okay, I'll get around to it eventually. But if I know why, then I will, I'm more likely to do it. So, therefore, it is great for the heart and prevents all those chronic diseases that were just mentioned, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, cancer, all of that. It helps to burn calories to achieve and maintain a healthy weight, which also helps with diabetes, stroke, and heart disease. It increases strength, endurance, and energy. The more you do it, the better you get. And it boosts your mood and memory. So all of us who are trying to stay young by learning, we're all continually learning, exercise helps to boost your memory. It makes you feel better, you from the inside out, and you live a longer, and not just a longer, but happier life. Who wants to live long and miserable? Not I. Okay, so, how does exercise help chronic disease prevention? Well, heart disease is America's number one killer currently. Other chronic diseases are high blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, depression. You've heard of them all. And usually, without any lifestyle intervention, you'll require medications to control these conditions, and you'll be taking the medications for life. Who wants to do that? Not me. Okay, so all of those conditions that we mentioned are affected by exercise, and I will show you how. Okay, so when it comes to exercising for men versus women, we know that men have more muscle mass, women have more fat, unfortunately. Our fat is really good friends with our bodies. But there are slight differences that will help you to maximize what you get out of your exercise. So for men, running more than 1 hour per week will lower your risk of heart disease by 42%. Walking is okay. You can walk too. We'll take it. But the more intense the exercise, the more the benefit. Weight training, 30 minutes per week, also lowers risk by 23%. So men, keep lifting those weights. For women, walking more than an hour a week total lowers the risk of heart disease by a whopping 50%. Now, a difference here is that for women, intensity is not as important as duration. So get your time in. Even if you're slow at first, it's okay. There's benefit. And this is from Harvard School of Public Health. I don't know, I think they're pretty reputable, right? Okay. So the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology set guidelines for practice for all healthcare professionals, doctors, pharmacists, onward, for how to treat and manage chronic diseases. They have medications as well, but they do recommend 40 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic exercise 4 to 7 days a week, so most days of the week. This is roughly equivalent to walking about 2 miles per day. Other types of exercise include walking, gardening is really good, running, hiking, sports, you get the idea. The American Diabetes Association also has similar recommendations, and they're in charge of diabetes care. So, the target heart rate is 220 minus age. So take your age for both males and females and subtract it from 220. That's your target heart rate. But we don't want you to exercise at your target heart rate. You should aim for a heart rate of between 50 to 75% of target. But in case you're not quite excited about breaking out that calculator and punching in those numbers, I'll give you an easier method. Okay, if you can have a basic conversation while you're exercising, gold star. Great, you're doing great. If you can sing while you're exercising, probably need to pump it up a notch. Now, if you're so winded that you can't even get a breath in, you need to slow down a little bit. So those are goals, easy goals for exercise. Other benefits are it lowers blood pressure. Blood pressure, high blood pressure, is a leading cause of heart failure, right there along with actually having a heart attack. So keeping your blood pressure under control is important. It also lowers bad cholesterol and is the best way to increase good cholesterol, which helps to prevent heart attacks and strokes. Now, the goal blood pressure for people who are otherwise healthy is less than 140 over 90 if you're less than 60 years old. Now, if you're 60 going strong, then your goal blood pressure is just a little bit higher at less than 150 over 90. So you're aiming for less than those numbers. Cancer prevention. A lot of people want to know about it, I'm sure. I mean, as I was reading and researching this stuff, I'm like, wow, I really need to do this stuff. So for men, exercising reduces risk of prostate cancer by 74%. Very common condition among men, enlarged prostate and prostate cancer. So exercise, start now, it's never too late. Not exercising for men increases the risk of colon cancer by 60%. Not so much for women. But for women, it does reduce the risk of breast cancer and reduces the risk of other female cancers as well, ovarian, cervical, that type. All right, diabetes. So before you get full-blown diabetes, it takes several years. About 10 years, you would have had diabetes for 10 years most of the time before you're diagnosed, because it's pretty silent in the beginning, and then by the time you get symptoms, it's pretty far advanced. But now, before you get diabetes, most people, this is type 2, most people get pre-diabetes. And for that, we learned in school that the best medication that you can take for that is metformin. Anybody on metformin? Yeah, yeah. Very common for diabetes and pre-diabetes. Helps to prevent or slow the progression. But actually, when you compare exercise with metformin, exercise had a 58% reduction overall for developing diabetes versus metformin at 31%. Now, when they looked at the population that was 60 years and older, they found that the reduction was even more profound at 71% in favor of moderate exercise. So how it works is that it lowers the blood sugar levels. It helps the body use the blood sugar, so it's not in the blood. It's getting absorbed into the muscles for a longer period of time, up to 16 hours after you exercise. The body is also able to better use its own insulin. And with exercise incorporating all of the other lifestyle changes and with professional coaching, you can actually reverse diabetes. Okay, healthy weight. For the inner nerd, I included up there formula for ideal body weight. For men, it's 50 kilos plus 2.3 times however many inches that you are over 5 feet. So if you're 6 foot, that would be 2.3 times 12, and add that to 50 kilos. For women, it's 45.5 because we have less muscle mass. Anyway, but your BMI target, more important, should be 18.5 to 24.9. If anybody's interested, I can help you calculate that. Again, inner nerd. But the benefits are lowered blood pressure, again, lowered risk of chronic diseases. Now, for optimal weight maintenance, especially if you're trying to lose weight, the key here is that energy output must be greater than energy input. Again, nutrition plays a very big role in this, but you have to balance the two. Moderate exercise helps to burn fat, whereas intense exercise burns more carbohydrate. So that's why you don't want to like go out on a full-out run, because you'll burn more carbohydrates and then you'll be hungry and you'll want to reach for like some quick energy. But if you do it at a moderate pace that you can sustain, then you will burn more fat. Also, building muscle increases what is known as the basal metabolic rate. This is the energy that you use to just keep you alive. When you're sitting, when you're sleeping, when you're breathing, that's your basal metabolic rate. But if you have more muscle mass, muscle just burns calories by itself. This is effortless calorie burning right here. So, ladies and gentlemen, grab those weights. So, some tips are to make exercise a priority. You know, when you have like a doctor's appointment, or you have like some really important, your child is graduating, or you know, something like that, and you put it on your calendar months ahead of time, and you make sure that you take time off of work, you're going to be there. Nothing is going to prevent you from getting there. We should have a similar similar attitude to exercise, because of all the benefits that I just told you about. It's so good for you. It needs to be a priority in your life. Now, if you think about exercise, and you get tired before you even like put on your gym clothes or your shoes, you need to rethink how you look at exercise. Sure, it's good for you, but don't do something that you hate, because you're not going to stick with it. It's gonna cause you more stress just to even think about it. Pick activities that you enjoy. There is so much that you can do out there. I mean, walking is almost free. All you need is a comfortable pair of shoes. Not like these that I'm wearing, but get a good pair of shoes, walk your 2 miles, you're good on your exercise. But if you don't like walking, I hate running myself. I make myself do it sometimes, but I hate running. Don't run. Find some other aerobic activity to do. Maybe it's cycling on the stationary bike. Swimming, great aerobic exercise. Very good for you. Low impact, so if you have like those joint and knee problems, do that instead. But find something that you enjoy and change it up. Exercise with a partner, as a family or in a group that will help you to stay motivated. Get an accountability partner. And remember, if you don't use it, absolutely. So if it moves, even if the only thing you can move is one arm, move that one arm and then move the next. And then get a bottle of water and hold it and move it. And then get like a 2-pound weight and then get a 5-pound weight and then get up out of that chair. Move whatever you can, but start slow, start low and go slow. Why is it good for your mood and sleep? It releases natural endorphins, such as like found in chocolate for some people. It doesn't have that effect on me, I know, I'm weird. But serotonin, dopamine, these are chemicals that are in your brain that help to regulate functions in your body as well as mood. So if you get endorphins and serotonin, dopamine, these are like, they make you feel good. And so they reduce your stress. They can help alleviate depression as well as anxiety and help you to focus. And also you will sleep better. I don't know. After I go for a swim, man, I will sleep for hours. But don't exercise within 2 hours of bed. So make sure you're done completely with your exercise. Before 2 hours before bedtime. Okay, bone health. It prevents and can reverse osteoporosis. Regular exercise reduces the pain of arthritis and improves flexibility. I present to you again, Ms. Ernestine Shepherd. Any questions? I didn't think so. Okay, so regular weight-bearing exercise means applying a weight beyond what is normally applied. So if you're used to, you know, in your housework, maybe you carry around things that weigh 2 pounds, 5 pounds, kick it up a notch. Get weights that are 6 pounds or get weights that are 3 pounds. Or if you don't lift at all, start with a water bottle. We'll take anything. So it's good for your bones and also walking and jogging and cycling because they put pressure as you're running. So it helps to build your bones. You need to train the whole body to get maximum benefit. And one of the best ways to do that is through gardening or yard work. It's just as effective as like lifting all those different weights with all the different machines and pulling this and pushing that, you know. Just do your own yard work as much as you're able to. And in other states, yard work probably looks like that, with a cute little wheelbarrow and a rake, and you're raking up some leaves. But this is Las Vegas. Your yard probably looks more like that, right? Okay. But move those rocks. All right. Some final warnings about exercise. Do not suddenly increase your exercise intensity. Almost half of all heart attacks are triggered by sudden, strenuous physical activity, especially among people who are normally sedentary. So I know you're all motivated. You want to put on your running shoes and go like run a half marathon, yes? No. Okay. But I hope I motivated you to do something. But again, start low and go slow. You don't want that to happen to you. And always talk to your healthcare provider before beginning any new exercise routine or a diet or workout program, especially if you're taking medication for diabetes and blood pressure. Because as you get better, the medicine might be too strong for you, but so you need to work together with your healthcare provider in order to get the best outcomes and prevent harm. And now I'll talk to you about a different type of exercise. You know, the soul also needs exercise. Exercising the body is great. It's absolutely great. But some types of, and we talked about weightlifting, which is great. And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us to shed all the heavy weight that we have and bring it to the cross. I meant to write down the verses, but I didn't get around to it. But look it up in your Bible. I promise you it's there. But that type of weight is not good for weightlifting. The burdens in your heart are not good for the bones or the muscles. So shed all of that extra weight in your heart and exercise your spiritual muscles, because spiritual health is gained through exercising our faith. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, I will find that and read that to you very quickly. Verse 31, rather, not verse 1. Says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ooh, I would love to run and not be weary. If I wasn't so tired after running, I would run all the time. But again, our spiritual health is just as important as our physical health. All right, so moving on, if I can figure out how to get there. Oh, there we are. Next, we will talk about, what does that look like? Sunshine, absolutely. Sunshine, many benefits. So again, for the inner nerd, I will begin with a few facts about the sun. Fun facts. I thought they were fun. So the earth is solar powered. Solar energy is the earth's source of energy. Surface temperature of the sun is about 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You think that's hot, huh? You thought Vegas was hot? The interior temperature inside is actually 18 million degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. Okay, talking about weight, if you've ever felt heavy, this one's for you. The sun contains 99.8% of the solar system's mass. So all of the whole solar system with all of the planets, the sun weighs 99.8% of that weight. Followed by Jupiter is the next contender, and then Earth, and then me, or you. Yeah, suddenly don't feel so heavy, huh? Okay, well, the Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun. And light takes about 8 minutes and 20 seconds to reach us, and then it's filtered by the atmosphere before it actually hits us. So let's talk about some benefits of the sun. Helps to ease tension and depression. If you don't think that's true, try spending like a week in a really dark place and never seeing the sunlight. Alaska. Somebody said Alaska in the winter. We're getting there. Did you know that the sun has antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties? Helps to kill germs. It's great. It helps to improve sleep. It boosts your energy. It lowers blood pressure. Did you know? Who knew that? Ooh. Oh. Some impressive people knew that the sun helps to lower blood pressure. And it prevents cancer as well. Kind of the opposite of what we're used to hearing, but I promise you, I'll get there. Okay, so let's begin with the heart. Again, this is Las Vegas. We have lots and lots and lots of sunshine, right? A lot. If you have any doubts, just step outside. But the irony is that about 90% of Americans have low vitamin D, of which the sun is the best source. Now, you'd think because we live in Las Vegas, of course, we're not part of that 90%. Impossible. But let me tell you that we are more likely to be vitamin D deficient because it's so hot out there, we don't want to go out there. And so then we don't spend as much time outdoors as our neighbors who are blessed with more temperate climates, right? California, I want to live there. So, vitamin D, which is the major focus here, helps the body absorb more calcium and balances the phosphorus as well. And these two work together in the body to lower the blood pressure. Also, those with inadequate vitamin D had twice the risk of heart attacks as opposed to those who had adequate amounts of vitamin D. Again, Harvard University. I didn't come up with this stuff. That is pretty amazing. Twice the risk. Ooh, I need some sun. Okay, so about cancer, vitamin D actually helps to prevent the growth of some cancer cells. Not all of them, but specifically leukemia, lymphoma, and melanoma cells. They can also decrease colon cancer by a whopping 80% and breast cancer by up to 50%. And sunshine, vitamin D, also plays a role in diabetes. I know, all these cool and interesting associations. There was a study that was done in Finland. Why Finland? Because they don't get nearly as much sun as Las Vegas. About 9 months of the year, they don't have adequate sunlight. So the study found that supplementing the kids with vitamin D reduced their risk of acquiring type 1 or juvenile diabetes by 88%. That's huge. Now, for those of you who have kids or grandkids, don't run out there and get them vitamin D supplements. No. It is not necessary in areas where you have enough sunlight. Just send them outside to play. Okay, and in type 2 diabetes, vitamin D reduces the risk of obesity, which is a major cause of type 2 diabetes. It makes our insulin not work as well, a very common condition called insulin resistance. And so, how vitamin or sunlight works is that it produces serotonin. Remember serotonin? We talked about it before. Makes you feel good, makes you more awake. But interestingly enough, you can also get increased levels of serotonin by eating foods that are high in refined sugar. So sometimes when you get that sweet tooth and then you eat that chocolate lava cake and you're like, That's that serotonin. Get some sunshine instead, and it will help with your, it will help to prevent type 2 diabetes and obesity, and it's much better for you. Okay, some other reasons help to regulate your sleep-wake cycle. Sleep is mediated by melatonin, whereas, and makes you sleepy during the night, best produced in complete darkness. And serotonin, towards the morning as the light starts to hit your eyes, it converts that melatonin into serotonin, which makes you wake up. So if you have a good balance, you'll sleep better. And then without sunlight, we can actually get sad. Seasonal affective disorder. I see her nodding her head over there. Common condition in areas where they don't get enough sun, where they have long winters, or where it rains a lot, and then they have like special lights so that you can, you know, prevent getting. But luckily in Las Vegas, we will never get sad, right? So vitamin D and calcium also help to reduce the risk of hip fractures by 43%. Now, those of you who are more mature, I'm sure understand the importance of protecting your hips, making sure they're strong, preventing falls, because hip fracture is associated with very high mortality rate, meaning you're at increased risk of death. So the study that I'm talking about was done in women aged 78 to 90 years old, and this is the population that is most at risk for bone and hip fractures. And how, you know, vitamin D and calcium, they increase the bone density, make your bone stronger, not just your hips, you know, all over. But so let's talk about how to maximize the good, because sunlight does get a lot of bad rap for skin cancer. So I'll tell you how to maximize your sun exposure. So you need about 10 to 15 minutes per day, according to the National Institute of Health. Three times a week for those who are lighter skinned. Now, for those of me, like me, who have more sun protection naturally in our skin, we actually need a longer time to get adequate vitamin D. So, yay us! We get to spend more time in the sun. important to note, don't wear sunscreen when you're trying to get your vitamin D in, because it will block the sun from reaching into the skin and producing that vitamin D. The best time to get sunshine is in Las Vegas before 10 o'clock. So make sure you're back indoors by 10 o'clock when you're trying to get some sun. Early morning is great. And then after 4 p.m. Now, this is kind of iffy because as I was reading and prepping this, one day I decided, yeah, I'm going to take a walk at 5:45 p.m. Woo! It was burning out there. 5:45, it was still burning. So all you need is 10 to 15 if you're more fair-skinned, maybe closer to 20, if 15 to 20 if you're darker-skinned, either early morning or closer to sunset. In the winter, it's not so bad. Before 10 and after 4 is fine. But in the summer, use your discretion. Open your shades and windows in the house. Let the sunlight in, like I talked about. It has it's able to kill bacteria and fungi and viruses in your house. So open up your shades. Again, start low and go slow. You don't want to just go out there and be like, my 15 minutes of sunshine, if you've never done it before. Start with 5 minutes and gradually build up. Okay. How to prevent harm. So too much of a good thing is bad for you. Poisonous is what I learned growing up. So you want to avoid sunburn. Because every time you get sunburn, the protein and genetic tissue in your skin are damaged, which is what increases your risk of skin cancer. So if the skin is red or raw after sun exposure, that's a warning that you spent a little too much time in the sun. Cut it back a little bit. And don't be like this guy who is trying to be artsy about it. Not a good idea. So if you're going to be out for a while, wear your sunscreen, certainly. Wear sunglasses helps to protect against cataracts, or if you have them, it stops them from getting worse. Protect your easily burned areas, like your nose, the ears, you know. So wear a wide-brimmed sun hat, and light-colored clothing will help to keep you cooler as well. And then, just as we need sunshine to survive, we also need sun, a different kind of sunshine, to survive. So in John chapter 9, verse 5, and again in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus specifically states that he is the light of the world. Now in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I don't know about you, but I don't like walking in darkness. You can like trip over stuff, and then there's that uncertainty of not knowing what your next step is. So just like there is physical darkness, there's also spiritual darkness, which causes a lot of uncertainty and anxiety. So Jesus counsels us to turn to him because he is the light of the world. And just like the sun that gives energy and can heal the body and prevent certain diseases, the sun of righteousness can heal our hearts. And, you know, scientists say that the sun is going to burn out eventually. Ever heard of that? Yeah. I've heard of that too. But you know what? The sun of righteousness is going to be around long after the sun burns out. I will leave you with Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Okay. Okay, don't grow fat like stall-fed calves. But the implication here is like healthy, because the fatted calf is like the most juicy one that you want to eat. Okay, you shouldn't be eating cows anyway. But you will certainly, your heart will be healed and will be like a young fatted calf, and you will be healthy from the inside out. Thank you very much for listening.